Hey, everybody, welcome to Full Raw Friday number 78. That's Austin Stone. I'm Canyon Clark. We're going to wrap up the public betting series and really buck betting in general series this week. Sorry we missed you last week. We had some stuff going on, but we're going to get into it this week, wrap the public betting series, and talk about how to hunt it. So that's what we're going to get into. All right, before we get started on that, though, don't forget, guys, Full Draw Friday is brought to you by Rax Big Game Supplements. If you're looking for minerals, you're looking for protein blocks that are going to get the deer what they want, how they want it, you need to go check them out, raxmineral.com. You can use the code FULLDRAW, that's all caps, and you get 15% off your entire order there. Austin, how we doing, man? I know it's been a busy week. We both were busy last week, too, so...
I'm in the thick of it. It has been, it's good. It's good though.
That's a good thing, right?
But man, it is. Yeah. In the thick of it right now. So yeah, we had a miss last week, which is all right. It happens kind of this time of year.
So. Yeah. Especially this time of year. And we just got back from the Illinois Deer Classic. So wrapped up with shows until August. So we should be good on that. But yeah, I know both been, well, it's right that time of year starting really habitat projects and everything. So to be expected.
Yep, it is. I've been planting perennial plantings pretty heavy the last month here. So I've been getting after it with, you know, clearing out brand new food plots and putting in reseeding existing food plots or taking hold of an old fallow hay field, you know, just kind of transitioning the habitat more to wildlife forward and just kind of moving forward from there. Yeah. So it's finally, we got clover coming up, which is cool. So the clover I put in a few weeks back, you know, essentially frost seeded basically, but finally seeing little tiny sprouts.
It's getting warm enough.
It's just starting to get warm enough, and that's in North Central Kansas. So, the fields I planted last year, I could see them first. Obviously they're starting to come in first, and then the winter wheat looks good in those. And then the new plantings I did this year, if there's any kind of thatch, it's still covered right now. But aside from that, you can still see the clovers coming up where there weren't clover.
Awesome. So that's what you want.
It's a good start.
Yep. No doubt. Well, speaking of good starts, we got a good one on this series. We got part one. We did locating. If you guys missed those, go back and watch them. I think they're well worth a watch, even standalone. But we did the first one on locating the bedding. Basically, how to find it. The second one we did, okay, this is buck bedding. What do we do after we find it? So go out from there, scout your area, figure some things out, put all that intel together so you can figure that buck out. Now, you've got those, let's say you got those two things done. We're going to talk about how you put that into action, how you actually go in and hunt that bedding area, how you set up to hunt that bedding area, entry and exit, and anything we got. We'll try to cover all that we can here in the next 20, 25 minutes or so. And just kind of put a bow on the series, like I said earlier. But let's just start right there. So we're to the point, you've got all the intel put together on this buck, right? So we found their bedding, you walked around, you found trails going to and from, maybe you found some other sign in the area. You decided it's a target buck, and this is for sure where he's bedding at least part of the time, right? What's your plan going into the hunting season? How are you going to hunt that? How do you plan to set up and hunt that spot? Like, how close are you getting? What are you looking for? How are you going to use that information to set yourself up for success when it actually comes to doing the hunting?
So kind of going into season, when it comes to buck bedding, you really need to wrap your head around a correct mindset first, I think is really the key to a successful hunt like this. And you know, you've got to be extremely precise, you've got to be extremely patient, and you got to be persistent. You know what I mean? So when you have it all located, you have all the details gathered around this area, you have entry exit routes, and you have a general idea about maybe what wind he's using in this area, especially if you can run trail cameras. If you can run trail cameras, get him in there. You know what I mean? Like, get them in early, get them in that July, August, even earlier if you really want to, just to collect as much intel as possible.
Right.
But get them in there that July, August, even if that buck doesn't move in till end of September, October, then your cameras are already ready there waiting for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then if that buck is already using it, you could have the opportunity at an early hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So going into season net, now it comes down to a lot of visual intel, you know, trail camera sightings and actual in-person sightings. So mm-hmm. when are you seeing him? What wind direction he's using, time of day he tends to use that specific trail or scrape, and just collect as much intel as possible. I look at the moon phase, but I can't say moon phase ever really dictates whether I hunt or mm-hmm. not. It never plays a big enough factor mm-hmm. for my hunts. It's always pressure and weather, you know what I mean? So hunting pressure and weather, and a lot of it is wind direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then being precise with that wind direction and weather, that's how you can be precision. So quite a few bucks I've hunted over the last couple of years, and this Kansas guy up top over my shoulder here, he was a southern wind buck,
mm-hmm.
right? His north wind pattern must have been on private, because I never got him located on a north wind. I only had him located on a south wind, and I was just barely missing him all season, right? All through September, October, I was just barely missing him. And I actually saw him probably about the week before I ended up shooting him. Didn't really know whether it was him or not. I didn't confirm it, but it was the right size body, right area, just everything. It more than likely, it probably was him, right? Say the correct conditions, everything was right.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up going back to that location, to that primary location I found in September. Later on that next week, I adjusted cameras. The scrapes had adjusted. And that's a big one I think that you need to really pay attention to as you're in season scouting.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop. Just because you found scrapes and found trails during the postseason scouting, don't hang your hat on that is the way it's going to become fall, right? There's been too many times I've seen this scrape adjust 50-60 yards. They're still using that spot, but for whatever reason, that scrape moved 50-60 yards. Mm-hmm. I even seen it where I was getting this buck on camera heavy on this scrape through September. This happened with this guy. And then he never showed up again on that scrape, and that scrape went dry. But three other scrapes 60 yards away opened up, mm-hmm. right? So if I hunted this other scrape, I would have seen this guy, but more than likely, I probably would have not gotten a shot. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's the precision with bow hunting, is making those adjustments. And you can't go in too often.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So make the hunts that you need to make the hunts. Precision on weather, and collect as much intel during those hunts as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use high wind days, hot weather days, very low value days to go in and actually scout.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to these locations, you got to make sure the conditions are perfect where you're not blowing stuff out of there while you're there. You know what yep. I mean? And it's kind of the thing of, get in, collect the intel, get out. Don't meander, don't hang out. Just get in, collect it, get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If that scrape is open, good. Go after it. If that scrape is not open, perfect. That means I don't need to hunt that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Go to the next one. It's preset, you know, direct scouting missions where now I know exactly where they're at. I can go directly to that scrape. Is it open? Is it not? Next scrape. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And along the way, keep an eye out for rubs that are opening up. And if you find rubs that just mega rubs that open up that maybe weren't there during postseason scouting, pay attention to those. And you already know kind of what that bedding area looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any intel like that, big tracks, anything and everything that you can get an idea of that, hey, there is a deer using this right now, possibly what I'm after.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then it goes down to, and then keep adjusting. You know, don't just stick to what one's saying. Don't be afraid of moving. And
mm-hmm.
And there are times to just let a stand produce. And then there are times that you need to move that move. Yep. You know what I mean? And it's a delicate balance of figuring out when is the right time to move and when is the right time to just let a stand produce.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
That's something I think that's really tough on private land too, is you get the stand where even it may have produced the year before and you've had luck there in the past, but now something's changed, whether it's something with a neighbor, storm came through and changed kind of the layout of the timber, anything. It could just be the crop rotation of a particular deer. You might have to adjust that stand. If you sit there, yeah, maybe you see him a few times, but he's way out of range, or you don't ever have an encounter where if you'd have moved 100 yards over the next break, maybe you would have been able to shoot that deer. So that's a big thing on private. I did want to go back. You were talking about trail cameras, getting them in, getting them early. And like you said, it's not necessarily so much so you can see what's there in the summer. Because you might even find, depending on where it's at, that there may be other bucks in that area through the summer that you don't end up hunting. But
yep.
Once that velvet sheds, once September rolls around, the buck that was in that bed that you found there in your postseason scouting, he comes back. And then, like you said, you have a step ahead of him. You can be the first one to know he's there and get in on him before anybody else does, especially on public ground, right? But then moving forwards, the scouting part, in-season scouting, so huge. Again, private and public. I think on private ground, a lot of times guys miss that step as well because you just get stuck in a rut more or less, and you do what you do. And if you're not having success, you either don't go or you go somewhere else or you keep sitting there not seeing anything instead of, hey, maybe I'll go in and see what's happening. And like you said, it's not the same scouting mission that you did postseason, where like the last episode we talked about, you're going in, you're casting a big web, you're making a grid or whatever, just even if it's like a big grid, just trying to find sign, right, and track it out from there, and you're spending some time in there really getting to know the area, really getting to know the sign, really getting to know why that buck likes to bed there and what he's doing outside of that. This in-season stuff is just, hey, I located these scrapes or potential areas in the postseason. I'm going to go in, I'm going to check it. If it's good, set up there. If it's not, move to the next one. And like you said, just in and out. Don't spend too much time, and definitely use those days, rainy, windy, hot, low movement days. You know, you're not going in there and doing that necessarily on like in the middle of November when you just need to be in a stand, right? But
yeah, exactly.
Those days where you want to be out, you have the day off, but you don't necessarily want to be going and pushing into your best spot. You can use those, scout the outskirts of it, you know, and you can still be productive on those days without hurting yourself, where if you go in and push it on those days where your wind's borderline or something, you end up messing the whole thing up. You definitely don't want to do that. You can still have productive days, even on ones that aren't necessarily productive for being in the stand. But I definitely like what you're talking about. We know where, because of your postseason scouting, we know where he's liking to go, where he's likely to come from, the scrapes potentially where they were last year, where they might be this year, and then going in and finding the fresh sign and setting up on that outside of that bedding area.
100%. And a key idea here too is don't purely rely on your trail cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Trail cameras miss a lot.
Yep.
And there's been a lot of times that I've almost counted out a spot until I go in there and look at it. You know what I mean? So cameras dry, scrape, that scrape that it was on dry, nothing. And then I go look at it and there's a mega scrape 20 yards away, giant freaking rubs, just shredded.
Yep.
But for whatever reason, my camera where I placed it is missing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yep. Don't purely rely on your trail cameras. A whole lot can be missed by those things. And even those pictures that you get that are blank, that doesn't mean that it wasn't the deer.
Right.
It just means that your camera missed it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that don't purely rely on those things. And, you know, be sure you're using plenty of woodsmanship along the way, you know?
Yep. I think that's where guys become deadly consistently on any kind of property, especially public land, is when maybe you aren't as familiar with the property, or you just obviously you can't have control over it and try to get the deer to go where you want them to. It's using that woodsmanship and the old school scouting, for lack of a better term, and getting boots on the ground and actually seeing it with your own eyes. You combine that with what you're seeing or what you're not seeing on camera. That's when you really start to figure things out, instead of just relying on the scouting or just relying on the cameras, right?
Oh yeah, and that's what I love about being able to use cameras where I'm able to, and what sucks in areas that I can't, mm-hmm. you know, because can't use them on public in Kansas anymore. Right. And it was never for me about patterning. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. that wasn't necessarily what I was after. I was after more along the lines of, there is a buck of the caliber that I am looking for in this area. Mm-hmm. I know what this area looks like. I know where the scrapes are, I know where the rubs are, I know where the trails are, the converging features, the funnels, all that stuff. All I need to know is that there is a specific deer that meets my goals. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Using it. And if there is a deer like that using it, I might be able to catch up to that deer.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then we go into, I'm going to hunt this on this wind in this conditions. And then you start chiseling away from there and getting even more precise with it. The more you visually see the deer, the more trail camera pictures you get of that, then you can get even more precise from there. But even more than anything, it's just knowing that there's a deer of that caliber in that area.
Yep.
Deer, people take this for granted of just how rare 150 class, 150 inch buck is.
Yeah.
It's actually extremely rare. And for some reason it becomes this baseline goal
yeah.
for folks. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I think if you do that, you're missing kind of a lot of the point of what's going on. But, and 150 inch deer is extremely rare. So you might have a very mature animal using that area, but maybe he's not the size that you're looking for.
Right.
Right. And the only way you know that is visual mm-hmm. intel. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, or you have a lot of young deer using that area, and the only way you really know that is visual intel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's more along the lines of how I like to use cameras is I combine the camera with that woodsmanship, and if you have a good feel on both, then man, you can get around a lot of deer.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to kill them with the camera, right? You can't kill them with the camera, so it doesn't have to be. Hey, if I'm not getting them on camera, I can't go in there and hunt them. It's just like you're saying, especially if you're going in early, like we talked about, you find that bedding area and you put a camera up where you're don't necessarily want to go back into. Like it's a mm-hmm. spot where a cell camera, you're setting it up to be there where you don't have to go in again. You might be getting that buck on that camera. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to hunt him right there in that spot, right?
Yep.
And especially time of day, he's there, whatever. You can gain a lot of intel from that. And like you're saying, at least it's confirmation that deer you're hunting is there. Mm-hmm. There are times when you do need to hunt where your camera's at. I've seen it kind of the opposite of that, where guys will be getting pictures of this buck consistently in daylight on camera. It's like, well, I just can't catch up with him. I can't kill him. Like, why don't go hunt behind your camera? He's there every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's definitely that aspect of it too, but I think we get pigeonholed on, I have to put my camera where my shot's going to be or where the deer's going to be for me to shoot him. And if he's not there on that camera, I don't need to go hunt because he's not there.
Yep.
And that's just, that's not necessarily the best way to go about it, in my opinion. Now, we don't have a camera partner on Full Draw Friday, but we do have a partner that sells cameras. He sells Tacticams. He sells Radix cameras. He's adding new stuff all the time, too. He's got Radix blinds and tree stands. He's got e-bikes. His name's Rodney Hawkins. If you guys have listened to the show, you know that. You knew that was coming. He's got RG Outdoors. That's where he sells that stuff. You can find them on Facebook. You can go to rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. You can also talk to him about real estate. He is a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. So if you guys have any questions about that, listings that might be available, getting your property listed, you can talk to him about that as well. If you want any more information on any of that, reach out to him at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. Make sure you let him know that we sent you. That helps us out a bunch. But we're talking about, obviously, we're talking about cameras. We're talking about kind of setting up on these spots. How close are you trying to get to that bedding, or does it just kind of depending for you on the sign that you did see around it and what kind of might be around that? So, like, obviously, with public land, a lot of times we've talked about this. To get a shot at that buck in daylight, you might have to push in a little closer than someone would on private. But what's kind of your general, rule of thumb, or do you have one when it comes to, okay, I've located his bedding, I've confirmed that he's here, there's good sign. Like, how close are you getting to that? Or is it, I mean, do you have a kind of a set rule for that?
I guess my set rule is the closest primary pinch point community scrape that I can find. You know what I mean? So I can't really say, I can't give you like a yardage
for sure
kind of idea, you know, but because as you know, a buck's not just going to bed in the exact same
right
spot.
And that spot could also be 50 yards. It could be 200 yards.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So it really kind of depends on how big that general bedding area is, you know, because if it's a whole ridge line, well, if that whole cedar thick is that whole ridge line, well, he could bed over here on this point one day and bed over here on this point another day. So it's kind of one of those things where I try to find the heaviest sign closest to the bed. You know what I mean? As close as possible as I can get to, obviously. See, that's a key thing too. And that's something that I actually want to go back to when it comes to having your camera set up before the buck shows up, mm-hmm. is just how important your first couple sits are in a specific stand. Just because you didn't bump that deer doesn't mean you didn't already run that spot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you already have your stand set, camera set, ready for that deer to show up. The moment he shows up, you pick the next right conditions and you go in, you can kill them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's that first couple hunts are so incredibly important. And very rarely do you get the opportunity to go in, to keep going in to that spot without ruining that spot. So, you know, being set up and ready early, that's pretty much the reason. That's the tactic I take to it is, yeah, I set that stand early, but I'm not going to hunt it till October 20th. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When I expect that deer to be there, you know, or I'm going to wait until that scrape opens up. It's open every year, but I'm going to set a camera on it. And the moment that scrape opens up, I'm on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of one of those things of that precision sort of things, mm-hmm. and not educating your deer herd along the way,
right.
You know?
So I don't mean to cut you off, but I do want to ask on that. If you've got your camera over that scrape, right? And mm-hmm. let's say it's getting into that third week of October. Are you going in like, so you see any deer come in, open that scrape, you're going to go in there and sit it? Or are you waiting for that buck to come work that scrape and then you're going to sit it? Like, what's kind of your go on that?
Pretty much any deer open as long as that scrape is open.
Mm-hmm.
I still would prefer to wait until I see some kind of mature deer on it. You know what I mean? At least at night, you know, at least get a nighttime picture of a mature deer on it. I would like that because young bucks and does will keep scrapes open a lot throughout the year, and that's great. So I would prefer to see some kind of mature deer using it before I go in and pick those conditions. And but if it's a scrape that I know typically doesn't open up until that time frame, then well, I'll just wait for it to open. Then I'll go in on the right conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then also at the same time, it's very time of year based too. Cause if we're going to get into scrape week, you know, going into that second, third week of October, and that scrape is active, it is being used, mm-hmm. right, by does, young bucks, medium sized bucks. And you haven't got a picture of a good buck yet, but you've got a cold front coming that second or third week of October. I'm going to go sit that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because there's a chance that buck is there. He's just not using that scrape yet. And the moment that mega cold front rolls in, he's going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be sitting there the first day he uses it. You know what I mean? So he could be checking it from downwind. You know, I mean, there's so many factors that he can be doing, and he could be near it, just not using it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, if it's active and I've got the right conditions and right time of year, I'll go hunt it.
Yeah. Yep.
Basically.
I think kind of the biggest takeaway when it comes to hunting the bedding area that you've found no matter what piece of property you're on, and no matter how close you're going to end up being based on that sign you're seeing, is we're not just diving in there October 1st or September 15th or whatever just because we know there was a buck bed that we found in the postseason. We're waiting for the right day, we're waiting for the right conditions, and we're waiting for the right activity to go in there and capitalize on it. You don't necessarily have to be the first one to the party. You just have to be there when everything's starting to happen, right? Like, you don't have to be the first one in the woods on September 15th, the first morning, or October 1st, whenever your season opens. You just need to be the first one that's there when that buck is out of his bed in the daylight. And you can hurt yourself if you try to do it the other way, and you go in there and you booger him, and then it's just over. You can, even if that doesn't happen, you can absolutely burn yourself out. You can burn a spot. You can do a combination of the two. Even, let's say, you don't necessarily bump that deer out of there. You don't completely burn the spot out, but you burn yourself out on that spot. You've sat there for 10 days straight, and you've not seen any deer. Well, now on day 20, what would have been day 20, he's actually just now starting to move. And if you'd have just waited and went in there, you'd have been fresh, and you'd have been there when the deer came in. So I think that's maybe one of the biggest takeaways is just because you know where he's living, just because you kind of know how he's using the area, doesn't mean you dive in there on day one if you don't have anything that's telling you to do that.
Yeah. And day one can be one of the best days to hunt if you have the intel that says it. You know what I mean? That's a big key factor, because you listen to the folks that push that opening day hunt. If you really pay attention to their tactics and you pay attention to what they're doing, they only hunt if they have intel, right? Yes, that they hunt it, and they are sold on opening day hunt, right? But it's after they have collected a significant amount of intel throughout the summer leading into that hunt.
Yep.
Right? It is never just a hunt. It's never just a hunt. It is after that they have been glassing this deer. They have been watching him on trail camera. They know how, when, where he tends to use the property, and they know how to access it. And that's when you can go in and have an extremely precise, awesome opening day hunt, early season hunt, right?
Yep.
But that's the thing. It's not just a hunt. If you're going in just to hunt, don't just hunt your good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Find somewhere else that you're not going to mess things up.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yep, no doubt. I think that's a good place to leave it for this episode. We're running up on 30 minutes here, so we will probably pick up a new series next Friday. We'll get back with you guys on that. If you have any questions about buck bedding, public bedding, how to hunt it, where to find it, feel free to shoot us a message, leave a comment. You can find all Austin's stuff at Tactical Approach Outdoors and Tactical Approach Outdoors on any your social media, and then .com as well. That's their website. Our stuff is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. That's where you're going to find it. Any of our stuff. Or if you're watching on YouTube, just leave a question in the comments. We'd be happy to answer it for you. Before we get out of here, don't forget about our other partner for Full Draw Fridays, and that's Flambeau Outdoors. You guys are looking for really quality, affordable decoys and weapon storage and fishing tackle. You need to go check them out at FlambeauOutdoors.com. Let them know that we sent you over there. I've used all their deer decoys this fall. I've used their duck decoys for a long time, even before we were partners with them. I really, really love their new bow case that they've got. It's the best hard case I've ever had by far, and I'm not just saying that because we're working with them. That's legitimate. It's the easiest to use. It's the most secure one I've had. I just really like it. So go check them out and make sure you let them know that we sent you. But that's Austin on the other side of the screen. I'm Canyon. We will catch you guys next Friday. Thanks for tuning in, as always.